thought I'd take a look at baptism again for those who may not quite grasp the gravity of why we do this. A local church once did a survey and discovered that half the congregation didn't think baptism was necessary. And I think you'll find that in most churches because they quit teaching the importance of it. The unstudied don't understand. They don't know what baptism is, what it does, why we baptize. Immersion is key to the engagement process by which we prepare to marry our bride, the Messiah, Yahshua. There has to be a way prepared for that. In a simple and direct statement, the Apostle Peter declared, "Baptism now saves us." How about that? Is that necessary? 1 Peter 3:21. And save here means to deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment. And it means to save from the evils that keep the unconverted from being delivered from sin. Simply put, our sins have to be eliminated. If they remain, our hopes for eternal life are in jeopardy, serious jeopardy. If our sins are not washed away, they block our path to salvation. And certainly we don't want that. In baptism, we're dealing with the deadly seriousness of sin. That's a message that's getting more and more difficult to get across today in our world. As one conservative commentator once said, "Well, you remember sin, don't you? It was the diagnosis before we all became dysfunctional and turned to Oprah instead of to Yahweh." You can bank on one fact, is that sin destroys lives. So we need to get rid of it in ours. And that's the key. That's the key task of a true worshiper, to get rid of sin, overcoming sin daily. We're all tempted. We're all tried every day. When we head out in the morning to face the day, keeping sin away should be a priority. We should keep that in the very forefront of our minds and hearts. Don't even give it a chance. I remember working one day, and an elderly lady was in the office, and somebody started telling a joke, a not so good joke, and someone says, "I don't want to hear it, because once it's in there, I can't get it out." And that's true. You can't unhear things that you hear. You just have to make sure you turn from them. What happened to King David that impacted his life from the day of his big sin didn't happen overnight. It was a progression. We look at his behavior from our vantage point and wonder, how could he have strayed so far from Yahweh, the man of Yahweh's own heart? How could he have done that? But David had already breached Yahweh's law concerning a king, which says, "Neither shall the king multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away." Deuteronomy 17:17, we find that David had 8 wives. Having started down a slippery slope, it was easier for him to continue the momentum. And that's what sin does. The lesson for us is that our world's sinful way is one of the biggest hindrances we face every day. Our natures that we are born with, the natural man, is also another big hindrance that we have to overcome. Solomon was this matchless example of failing this mandate when he took 1,000 wives and concubines. His direction was inevitably downhill. The first thing to do when you are confused on what to do about a practice or teaching is to check Yahshua's example. Yahshua is our guide to the truth, and he will be our judge to it. And when it comes to immersion, what did Yahshua teach, and why did he himself get immersed? If we can get right with him, then we have nothing more to worry about, right? Yahshua's plain statement about baptism was, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. He added in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Let that sink in. If you're not born of water and of the Spirit, you can't be in his kingdom. He's talking about the waters of immersion and imparting the gift of the Spirit by the laying on of hands following immersion. And that's the singular reason that many want to get baptized, so that they can get the Holy Spirit, which is true. That's what we want. The New King James Version reads, Yahshua answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of Elohim. Why was he so emphatic about this? Why was he telling everyone, teaching, that we need to be baptized? He mentioned two significant aspects of baptism, water and Spirit. And some say, well, that was just being born of the amniotic sac, and you know, when you're the birth canal and all that. Well, everybody's born that way. Why would he even bring it up? That'd be kind of silly. He wanted everyone born of the kind of water that gives salvation, that washes away sin. To mandate what everyone else does automatically would be pointless. Second, he includes the Spirit, which is given after immersion, as it was to Yahshua himself. He came up out of the water, the dove came down. Spirit like a dove. And Yahweh said, this is my son, I'm well pleased. Baptism involves these essentials. It follows repentance. It involves a voluntary free will decision that you want to change your life to enter the covenant of Yahweh through this method. And it involves the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of ministry. The account of Yahshua was, his immersion is found in Matthew 3:13. Then comes Yahshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. He travels to the river Jordan, where John is busy baptizing, immersing others. That's what we see John doing a lot, is just, that's his ministry. That's why he was doing what he was doing. Well, Yahshua was sinless. Why? What's the point? He didn't have any sin to, the penalty of sin to wash away. It was completely unnecessary. Still, Yahshua walked a great distance to be baptized of John in the river. And when Yahshua himself makes a special trip for anything, that's pretty important. And we can be sure that there is a key teaching there for us as well. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me? This should speak volumes to the unordained who take it upon themselves to baptize. Yahshua made a special trip. He could have had Peter, James, John. Somebody baptize me, would you? Would you do that, Peter? John, I love you. Would you baptize me? No, he went to the man who was ordained for that purpose. That was his ministry. Yahshua didn't pick anybody. He didn't just say, okay, maybe I'll have, like some do, my wife baptized me. Really? Now explain this to me. The essential part of baptism is that we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, this also applies to the guy who baptizes himself. You probably heard of that. If you don't have the Spirit to begin with, how do you get the Spirit when you don't have it to begin with? How does that work? So he went to a man who had the proper credentials, who even as an unborn baby jumped with joy while yet in the womb of his mother, clearly revealing the power of the Spirit in this man's life. John the Baptist was a functioning minister whose ministry focused on repentance and then immersion. Yahshua said there was no greater man than John the Baptist. How about that? No greater man. Paul reminded Timothy not to disregard his spiritual gift. Note how Peter was given that gift in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So in order to receive the Spirit, After immersion, the ministry is to lay on hands for that purpose. As Philip realized, he was a deacon, he could baptize the Ethiopian, but he couldn't lay on hands. That had to have come later. So let's turn to return to Yahshua's immersion with John the Baptist. And Yahshua answered, said to him, "Suffer it now to be so, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Fulfill all righteousness. So in other words, you want to get your life in total order with Yahweh to fulfill that righteous calling. That's part of what you do to become immersed. So he says, here's my example. You do it. You go and do it. If you want to be part of my family. And so Yahshua's coming was to show us how to live acceptably to Yahweh, to make a covenant, a family covenant with Yahweh, and nothing needs to be left out. The essentials all had to be there in place if we want to be fulfilling righteousness. John's baptism was one of repentance, but being sinless, Yahshua had nothing to repent of. Still, it was important that he give us the example. And again, you have a question. Somebody asked me one time, what's truth? Yahshua's truth. You have a problem with some doctrine or something? Check out Yahshua. How did he live it? How did he handle it? Can you imagine walking around with Yahshua and watching him every day interacting with people and teaching as he walked among them? I would have just loved that. I mean, and what he did is so interesting, and how he did it was so interesting, is that he would usually tell a parable, and he would ask questions. When he's asked a question, he would ask a question in return. It's his way of teaching. Today, many denominations baptize by sprinkling or pouring. When we didn't know better, my family, I was sprinkled. Baptizo means complete submersion in water. Scriptural baptism, or baptizo, should not be confused with bapto. Two different words. A clear example showing the meaning of baptizo is found in the writings from a Greek writer named Nicanor, who lived about 200 BCE. It's a recipe for making pickles, but he uses both those words for immersion because they're cognate, they're related. He says that to process a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped, that's bapto, dipped into boiling water, and then baptized, that's baptizo, in the vinegar solution. Now, both verbs concern putting vegetables in a solution, but one is a little stronger than the other. The first is temporary. The second baptizes, or baptize the pickle, you might say, into the solution, producing a permanent change. It infuses that pickle and gives you that taste that you get. That's what the baptism that we're talking about, the one that makes a permanent change. And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Yahweh himself, it evoked Yahweh's response. Yahweh himself said, "I'm pleased with my Son. He did what I wanted him to do." And Yahweh is always well pleased. Anytime one of his called out ones makes that effort, makes that decision, takes that critical step of immersion. But that act, we promise Yahweh, will lead a life of obedience. See, it doesn't stop there. Some people think, okay, I've been baptized, I've made it, now I'm good to go. No, you're just starting a work. You're just starting a life of obedience. You're just starting to begin this walk with Yahweh. But you have to get started on the right foot, and that's what baptism is, starting on the right foot. Romans 6:3 says, "Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Yahshua the Messiah, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Maybe you never thought about it this way before. Baptism is like a burial. to go into the watery grave and participate in Yahshua's own death. He came out of the grave into a spirit being. We come out of the waters of baptism in a spiritual way as well as physical to become like Yahshua. You're never so clean inwardly as the day you make that commitment. The day you must go into the water and come out a new person, a new creation. You're putting away all that old stuff, all those things that you did that were not right, things that you thought were not right. You're putting all that away, and you're now coming into a true believer. You're never so clean as when you come out of those waters. We're told that we must be made new. We must take part in Yahshua's death. And that's one reason baptism is necessary. Through this act, we want to say to Yahshua, we are saying to Yahshua, I want to be part of your redemptive work for my salvation. Like the blood on the doorpost representing his blood. Immersion is the joining of ourselves with his redemption. Peter explains how this works in the rest of the passage in Romans 6, starting in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, it's like taking part in his resurrection, the only way we can do it, physically. Knowing this, that our old man is impaled with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, there we are, starting on the right path. Don't serve sin. Lead a different life. It's not the end. It's the beginning of your life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we also shall live with him. Knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. No more dominion over Messiah being raised from the dead. One day, it'll have no more dominion over us as well if we remain faithful. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto Elohim. In other words, he lives day after day after day unto Elohim. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Elohim through Yahshua Messiah, our Master. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. So you remove all those things that offend Yahweh. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Elohim. Interesting thing. We talked about baptizo and bapto. These words about dealing with baptism are never used in a passive way. It never says that water is to be baptized on someone, like sprinkling, pouring. That's not what that word means. It means to go underwater, to be in water, not being baptized with water. To baptize is always used in the sense of actively placing someone into water. And I guess that's why I always wonder why they didn't translate it that way. Why we have it in the English, the Greek word. Well, if they did, it would kind of blow away their whole practice of sprinkling and pouring, wouldn't it? If they translate it correctly and say baptizo means burial in water or place underwater, then what are we talking about when we sprinkle or pour? Doesn't fit the word. So they just left it untranslated, and then people have to just go through it and not even know what they're doing because the minister says we're going to sprinkle or we're going to pour. That's chio or rantizo, by the way, sprinkling and pouring. Anyway, it's not the same word. Bapto, baptizo. And as I said, an incredible thing happened the day that John was out there baptizing. Yahshua shows up. That must have been a real shock. He comes to John to be baptized. Well, John is blown away, and he says, I got to be baptized by you, not the other way around. John understands that baptism was a type, includes a repentance and confession of sins, and John understood baptism, that Yahshua had no sin. He was sinless. It's a death of the old self to rise and walk in a new life as if you were resurrected. But, of course, we said Yahshua didn't need to do any of that, but he did it for our example, and that's why he did it. All righteousness includes baptism. If you're going to fulfill all righteousness that Yahweh requires of you, you're going to be baptized, even if you're Yahshua the Messiah. And even though he lived a life without sin, our sins were imputed to him. He took on our sins, it says. So he had to get rid of those sins that we put on him. So that's another reason he got baptized, to be clear of those sins and not stick to him, the way I like to see it. Yahshua is also saying, in order to fulfill our righteousness, I will be obedient to what Yahweh desires, what Yahweh commands, what Yahweh wants. If I'm going to live as a man, I'm going to obey all the commands that Yahweh has put there for us as human beings that my people need to follow. And so, also, the Holy Spirit, of course, is part of that. Holy Spirit comes down after baptism. And you must have the Spirit to be raised at the resurrection. So, how do you get the Spirit? The Spirit is endowed upon baptism. Romans 8:11, read it. There's no going back. The candidate for immersion must realize this is, when I make this commitment, there's no return. I'm going to be faithful all the way in everything I do, all the way. Totally committed to a walk, the walk that Yahweh our Father commands. Unless he or she is ready to follow through and stay committed to the end, the danger is always the sin of falling back, going backward. Don't want to ever do that. And you can go so far as to reject the truth. Hebrews 6, there's no more sacrifice for sins. You're done. And I believe that's the unpardonable sin. When you understand totally the word, everything, and you understand the clear meaning of what you do as a believer, and it's in your life, and it's in your heart, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you turn away from it. Say, I don't want any more of it. Yahweh allowed this to happen in my life. I want no more of him. You do that, there's no coming back. Yahshua can't be impaled twice for you. And he won't. So very serious, important that we understand that. Hebrews 6:4-6, and it's a grave situation that none of us should ever want to be in. Because what a future. There is no future. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened. To enlighten spiritually means imbue with saving knowledge and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the world to come. I mean, you got it all. You understand it all. You understand what's coming. You understand prophecy. You understand what Yahshua's all about. If they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they impale to themselves the Son of Elohim afresh and put him to an open shame. Yahweh says, I won't do it. I won't give them another opportunity. That's it. So there's no going back once we have the truth and the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Having committed the unspeakable sin of killing Yahshua, the crowd in Acts 2, pleased with Peter, What can we do? Killing Yahweh's very son. And they knew they were guilty at that point after Peter's message. We have no hope. What are we supposed to do now? We didn't know. We didn't realize this was Yahweh's son. Probably most of them said. And what did Peter say? Repent. Repent of that. Repent means turn around and go a different direction. A 180. Repent of that sin, and then be baptized. You need to be clear of that. That sin that you just created by what you did, and then receive the Holy Spirit. Even if they could be forgiven of the worst sin imaginable, and the most unintelligent as well, I mean, why kill the very, your very the one who's going to judge you, the judge, they had to put to death the only one who can save them from eternal death. Talk about drilling a hole in your lifeboat. But of course, many of them did it in ignorance. And Yahweh says, if you do something in ignorance, you're not accountable. But once you are accountable, once you know, then you must do what you need to do, make the changes. These Jews who consented to Yahshua's death realized they were spiritually lost at this point. They were as good as dead. Their sin condemned them, and each would need to pay the ultimate price for it unless they submitted to Yahshua through immersion. So 3,000 people. What an audience he must have had. I mean, how did he? Well, obviously Yahweh's Spirit had to help him get the message across a vast crowd like that. So they, in Acts 8:15, we see that the Spirit is given at immersion. Quote, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was not fallen on any of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. It's always in the name. I believe there's either 4 or 6 examples in the New Testament of baptism. They were all done into Yahshua's singular name. Not a Trinity, not the Father, Son. Only Yahshua's name. So that's why we are baptized into Yahshua's name. He is the one we need for access to the Father. We have to go through him. So we baptize into his name. And that's into his name, not just in his name. Into his name, which means we become part of that family. We come into that family. And the second reason they were lost is that they did not have the Holy Spirit. In Acts 8:15, we see that the Spirit is given at immersion, who, when they were come down, prayed for him, for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, just those who were baptized into the Master Yahshua. We read in Acts 19:3, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, well, unto what were you baptized then? How did you get by? And he said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on the Messiah Yahshua. So when they heard that, they were baptized into the name of the Master Yahshua, and then received the Holy Spirit. People ask, well, you know, I've already been baptized maybe 3, 4, 5 times. I say, well, that's I guess you just took part in maybe John's baptism. You repented, that's all you knew. But you got to go farther. You got to go to the ultimate. You got to do it into Yahshua's name. Okay, I'm ready to go. We don't find any dispute, disagreement, or delay in the people's reaction. Once they discovered that they had to be rebaptized, well, baptized properly, put it that way, they promptly got immersed into Yahshua's name. Like I said, 3,000. Without the Spirit, there's no access to the kingdom. Yahshua said in John 3:5, except you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. He also said in 6:63 that it is the Spirit that quickens or gives life. When Yahshua returns and gathers his elect from around the world, his Spirit is going to grab those who have the Spirit and raise them into immortality. So if the Spirit gives life, it's the power that he uses to bring his people to life, into spiritual life. So Paul admonished in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So that's the ultimate work of the Spirit in your life. Once you become part of the body in the covenant, you're sealed with that Spirit. Ultimately, that Spirit is what's going to raise you from the dead or change you spiritually if you are not dead when Yahshua returns. Paul called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life in Romans 8:2. Notice what he said further, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you. It gives you life, spiritual life. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, he is none of his. Verse 9. Without the Spirit, we have no part in a life everlasting. The Spirit is given at baptism. And if the Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, it helps you live righteous life. Then you have life. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That's where the change comes, from physical to spiritual. The Spirit will quicken your, change your bodies to become a spirit being. At the resurrection, the Holy Spirit will act, I like to see it as a magnet. As he goes around, and bing, you know, people who have the Spirit will be drawn right to it. Yahshua continues this truth in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The elect are raised to everlasting life through this power that is given at immersion. Very clear. Over and over we see the importance of baptism and receiving the Spirit. And it guides us into a changed life. Romans 8:13 says, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. Mortify, put to death the deeds of the natural man. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Elohim. Sons of Elohim. Being children, they are part of the heavenly family, Galatians 4:6. So why we have immersion is simply because Yahweh commands it. It's the access to everlasting life, and it is something Yahshua gave to us to show us that we must do that. Through immersion into Yahshua's name, the believer allows himself to be symbolically put to death spiritually and to come on a new spirit, a righteous spirit. Our Savior said, no greater love exists than to give up our life for a friend. So we're baptized into his name and vicariously experiences death. Baptism is acting out the death and resurrection of Yahshua as nearly as we can come to it. Yahshua did that for us. He had no greater love that he allowed us access to the kingdom. If you just think about that, how blessed we are, not only to get life in this world, but to have an access for unending life in a kingdom. What greater gift can anybody ever get than what Yahshua did for us? So we walk in newness of life. There are ending points and starting points in our spiritual journey. And we do that to start that life in baptism. The crowd didn't hesitate after Peter's Pentecost sermon. They said, okay, let's get baptized. We have no other choice. Those who received his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That day, Acts 2:41. Baptism is a requirement regardless of sex, race, or economic status. They were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8:12. We were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are baptized into the name of our King, Yahshua, Acts 8:16, which is a pledge of our loyalty to our new King. Paul sums it up in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Messiah have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For you all are one in Messiah Yahshua. And if you be in Messiah's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A great place to be baptized, I always say, is at the feasts, Yahweh's feasts, where you'll meet many other brethren who have been baptized, who have, some are very seasoned in the word. They have things they can teach you as you fellowship with them. They know, they understand some of the things you're dealing with. And I always say, you know, as soon as you get baptized, Satan's going to work. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like you to follow Yahweh. I mean, he's got the world. Why do they have to worry? I mean, there's nothing there for them because they don't understand. But for us, we have to then follow Yahweh, and we have to overcome the power of Satan. And he usually gives some kind of test after you're baptized. Expect it. Something that it's not something you can't overcome, but there's something. I mean, some people have, there's all sorts of things can happen. One fella fell down the steps and had broken leg. I mean, maybe you lose your job. Maybe all these things that Satan throws at you to discourage you and say, oh, what happened? Why is this happening to me? So this is what we do. And this is why we do it. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless.